Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. Our goal is to bring you interesting topics and guests with our broadcast. We are broadcasting from 101.5 FM WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And we have an awesome guest today, Matt Drennan, who specializes in trains. Matt is with us today. He has a small store in Woodstock. Matt, welcome to Around Town.
Well, thank you, Ron.
So let's talk about the benefits of children playing with trains.
Well, I mean, the fact of the life is that there's a lot of skills out there that you learn operating railroads, but some of them can be early development. We've discussed this before, but basically some things like problem solving, communication, imagination, and creativity, you're looking at these things as early development things with model railroading.
And what about if they children get into like problem solving, how do you handle that?
Well, I mean, you got to think about it. You're laying out the track. You're putting this down. You got to be able to reason and do some cognitive work with the trains. So when kids are starting to plan their railroad, basically, even in an early stage when they're just plunking down track, they have an idea what they want to do. And so being able to work out the issues like grade, you know, hey, they want to put in a hill, or, you know, just even with the little wood trains, figuring out, okay, how tight a curve I can put for this train or what have you. It's all part of that problem solving.
So do you see more of the dads coming in with the children to help them, assist them, or are the dads more excited than the children?
It depends. You know, I have a young man. He was actually up at the shop yesterday. Nice guy. His name is Frankie. Wonderful kid. He comes in, and sometimes it's his mom, sometimes it's his dad, but you can tell that his entire focus is on what he's doing in railroading in two different scales. Now, the young man's only like 10, 12 years old, you know, but he's already got a developed plan of what he wants to do. The funny thing is, mom, in a lot of cases, is as excited as he is as to what he's buying and building. Dad only loves one scale, so if he's messing with the O gauge, dad's not as interested. He wants the HO.
Okay. So. And, of course, then the child sits there saying, Dad, come on, let me play the train, right?
Well, some of it, but I've actually had guys sit down on the track with their sons and make an entire track plan right on the floor. So they pull out track, and they're piecing things together, and it's really neat to see. I mean, it is another thing is that there's a lot of family bonding that goes into this because it becomes almost more than just one person's hobby.
Well, not only that, but I would think that when children run across obstacles, they have to figure out how to make this track or this system work.
Oh, yes. Especially if they start mixing trains. You know, they've got different cars, and the biggest obstacle is, will this car hook up to this car? You know, the couplers, are they the right height? So a lot of times kids learn how to modify their cars right away because they're shimming their bodies, changing their coupler heights, adjusting their wheels to make things line up. That's just a simple problem that you run into. It gets a heck of a lot more complicated.
So for them to learn how to do that, is that something that you teach them, how to shim the body? I mean, it just doesn't come naturally, I would think.
I happen to have the benefit of having three or four guys who've been doing this for approximately 40-plus years in the shop. So the nice thing about it is that these kids will sit down with these guys, and they will show them how to do it so the next time they can. It's one of the things we're actually working on is teaching education, getting kids used to doing problem solving things like this, because honestly, it's really not taught anymore. You know, they're taught rote. They copy, do this. That's how it works with a computer. You don't have time to sit down and piece it together.
You know, folks, if you're sensing a lot of excitement in our voices, because the engineer and myself both were train lovers when we were kids. So we're loving having Matt here to bring back memories from the past. What about imagination and creativity for the kids, Matt?
Well, you have to plan. I mean, you're looking at what you want to do. You're building a town. You're designing a farm. All of these things are in your mind, but you got to get it out on the board. So figuring out how to design it with the products you have at hand. You know, you don't have to go out and buy a building. A lot of these kids start with a cardboard box. You know, cut the windows, shape the thing, put on a couple of marker colors, what have you, and you've got yourself a train station.
So they can come into your shop then and just say, I'm thinking about doing this or I'm thinking about doing that. They can get some guidance from you or some support?
Every kid of every age can get that, yes. In fact, we're working on one right now in Marengo where the guy is approximately 70 years old, and we're putting together his first O-gauge railroad.
Really?
And it's quite elaborate. Four tracks, tons of operating things, and he just added 13 feet to it. So we're definitely in a very large project at this moment. But we get even the small ones. We get little guys who want to figure, hey, Matt, you know, I want to build a downtown. What buildings? You know, and we go through and look at what type of downtown he wants. And in his head, I want to copy Crystal Lake, or I want to do a Chicago skyscraper, or I want to do something like that. And then we figure out how you go about doing it.
Well, I imagine that imagination and creativity is a key element to working with trains and playing with trains. You know, what you want to do, how you want to design it, where you want to go with it. And I'm sure that the kids can then come into your shop and say, Matt, okay, here's what I'm thinking about. Then where do you take it from there, Matt?
Well, the first thing I ask them, I say, okay, so do you know what type of train you want? Are you a steam guy? Are you a diesel guy? Are you a trolley guy? Or are you a mix of them? Because that determines the size of the board, because you have to determine the size of the curve. Not every train runs on every curve. If you get a big boy, you ain't putting it on 9-inch diameter.
So a young person comes in and you ask that question, they're going to say, gee, I really don't know if I want this type or that type. How do you guide them?
Well, the first thing is we have this excellent book from Model Railroader magazine they used to create. It's Building Your Own Model Railroad. It's a free copy book. And we pull that out. And I said, this has got all the tips and tricks. Before you buy anything, look at this. Get a feel for what you want to do. I said, because once you determine how you want to start, from there, we can build anything. I mean, but you have those reference materials. And then the other plus is that we have a lot of really good clubs in the area that people don't know about. There's one just down the road, honestly. And guys in Sun City can join up with that. And every day I'm hearing of guys who moved into town. They got into the house. Very first thing they do is go sign up for the railroad club because they want to play trains. You know, that's how it is. And half of this is playing.
So the railroad club is just members that have trains themselves, or they go to one location?
It depends. Some of them are module clubs. Some of them are physical fixed clubs. There's an excellent one down in South Elgin called the Valley Club. It's been around for 70 years now. HO Club in an old Chicago and Aurora and Elgin power building right there on the tracks. And those guys have members from ages like 10 all the way up to 90. And every single one of them has a specialty, and they can translate that to each other and talk about what they want to do. I mean, the young kids learn just as much from the old guys as they do experimenting on their own.
Can you talk a little bit about how they can refine their motor skills, Matt?
Well, as you both know, no matter what size train, there's always small details. There's always small things that you got to be really careful with. And so you're learning how to manipulate those small things with your motor skills. Basically, when you're thinking about it, you're using what's in real life, but taking it down to something that is easily maybe 2-3 inches across, depending on the scale. And so you got to be able to manipulate that and adjust that. You also have to be able to have a little bit of patience. You know, some of the projects, if you're building your own buildings, it takes time to lay in the shingles. It takes time to put the siding in. It even takes time to glue in the people. And so you got to be patient, and you got to have the ability to actually manipulate small objects.
So I would imagine by doing that, that's going to help them develop other types of skills too, whether it be drawing or writing or even tying your shoelaces for that matter.
Look, they've proven it. Today's model railroader is tomorrow's Disney Imagineer. I mean, any job that you look at right now, an electrician, a construction worker, a landscape designer, a city planner, even small basic computer design engineers have all started with model railroading and the construction works that you're doing. And unfortunately, some of these things aren't taught in high school anymore. And because of that, where else are they going to learn it?
What are you finding, Matt, as far as the age group that's coming into your store right now that's now becoming interested in trains? I mean, I know as far as the adults, we all love trains, but what about the young generation?
Well, as I described before, Frankie, you know, I've got plenty of kids that are walking in the door. I can tell you about Stuart, who's about 8 years old and been coming in the shop for 2 years. My favorite story is Andrew. Andrew is a young man who works with me now. He started at 6 chasing trains in another train shop I was in. He'd run around the railroad. That was his mom's break. He has Asperger's syndrome. And ironically enough, his focus is trains. He could probably tell you where every piece of railroad equipment in the country is right now and know their numbers and half the engineers. So, but he would get so focused on that train that at age 8, I got tired of him chasing the train. So I said, I tell you what, Andrew, you're going to do something constructive. And I taught him how to use an MTH remote control for a DCS system. Now, this is the G-scale size, so you guys know what I mean when it's not exactly cheap. I handed him that controller. He was playing with her half hour before his mom had it, knew he had it. And she looked at me and almost killed me because I had $1,500 in train in his hands at 8 years old. But by 12, he was coming to our open houses and teaching guys your age how to use that remote control system and operate it at the open house and earning money to do it. And now he's 20 years old. He's learning the basics of landscape design and working in our layout building department and getting a career out of it because, honestly, he's not fit for an office. He's a great kid, but he's focused at creative. And the fact of the matter is he can make an amazing career building layouts for people. And he's learning that now. And the kid is an amazing weatherer, too. My God, his trains are beautiful.
That's absolutely awesome. I mean, to hear a story like that, and to see how a child can progress with trains, just trains, you know?
Like I said before, your age, even my age, there were shop classes. There were woodworking. There was metalworking. You learn how to work on small engines, all small motors. You know, all of these skills that right now pay $90 to $100 an hour because the guys are getting too old to do them and there's nobody coming up behind them. And none of these, if you take a look at high schools, half of these schools don't have those anymore. They don't pay for them anymore. But small motors, you learn how to clean up your engines, you learn how to rewire them, you learn how to take care of them right there. That's the equivalent of a motor and a fan in a motor, even in some of these cars, truthfully, to operate your air conditioning. Construction, building layouts. I mean, heck, who hasn't built their own table, you know, to get it there? Electrical wiring, you got to know positive and negative to wire up a train. You also got to deal with both AC and DC. You know, landscape design, I mean, and city planning. All of these things fall into those pieces of information.
I would think that maybe schools would show an interest in something along these lines to help the students in the lower grades.
The area of McHenry County is pretty lucky. There are some teachers who are extremely good at teaching kids through railroading. There is a former high school teacher of mine who is a sub now. His name's Dave Dreyer. Wonderful man. Has a beautiful G-scale railroad in Woodstock. He opens it up to his kids.
Well, I just remind everybody, you're listening to 101.5 FM, WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. If you want more information down the road, just go to huntleyradio.com and click on Contact Us. We're talking today to Matt Drennan about trains, model trains, just a fascinating subject and one that brings back many, many memories to all of us. So, Matt, the teacher you're talking about, can you give us more information about, you know, what he did and what he's doing?
Well, he was a science teacher at Crystal Lake Central. He was actually one of my teachers, ironically enough. You know, he's a sub now, and he always managed to incorporate trains and how to use them in all of his physical science classes. Some of the best lessons I remember from high school were because of him. And he continues to do that today. In fact, he opens his railroad up to the public, and the kids are encouraged to come and check it out just so they can see how he builds reverse loops and how he puts battery operations on the trains and, you know, just a concept and an idea of how to design with grade because he's got a beautiful little railroad there.
How does he get that information out so people know where to go to see that railroad?
Well, he brings the information up to the shop when we're having public events, obviously. He is a member of the Master Gardeners, and that does get distributed through them as well. We do a once a quarter visit to a different client's railroad as we go. We've done N-gauge, G-gauge, O-gauge, and HO so far, and we're going to probably recycle through. So when I have those events, I publish them as well. And then, of course, he encourages his students to come visit him.
So for our listeners, can you go through those gauges again so they understand? It was kind of quick rundown there, but what's the difference between the gauges?
Right. So you got five primary gauges. G gauge is originally birthed in Germany or in England. In fact, the main company that made that stuff was called LGB, Lehman Großenbahn, which means Lehman Large Scale. when it got to America, we decided, you know what, this would be perfect for a garden. So we very carefully changed that G from Grossen to garden scale. And those are the railroads you'll see, say, at Sun City Outdoors, where they have a beautiful 300-square-foot railroad. So that's G scale. Then O scale. O scale is the granddaddy, the one that's been around since 1906, the one that was wind-up trains, who had their three main competitors, which was American Flyer, Lionel, and the latecomer Marx. There were a couple other companies. In fact, I elaborated earlier to a small company called Hafner, who was also involved in this. And a lot of these companies got their start here in Chicago, Illinois. Then you have HO. HO refers to half of O. Now, HO is probably the most prolific of the scales only because of the quantity of product. Whereas G gauge had 7 companies and O gauge maybe had 10 companies that made the stuff. There were over 50 companies that jumped into HO from the 1930s on up. And a lot of people don't realize HO started in the 1930s with Mantua, which is ironically the grandfather to Tyco, which was the set everybody saw in Kmart, Toys R Us, and Sears, you know. But there were a variety of companies, some of which only popped up for a couple of years. But because of that, the amount of product available in HO compared to the others is massive. And then you have N-scale. Now, N-scale, everybody thinks is a newcomer, but it's not. It started in the 1950s, but it was called TT or Treble O, both of which were in either Britain or Japan. The Japanese were nuts. They decided to make a train smaller than N-scale to run on track, and that's TT, okay? But when N-scale came around and the Treble O and the N was formed in Great Britain and came here to the United States, the Japanese upgraded their TT to N, and one of the largest companies out there now called Kato has been making trains starting with Concord in the 70s. That's where Hideki Kato got started. So those are your primaries. Now, the one I skipped, which is the one everybody knows but and would be included in a primary but isn't quite as wide berth, is S-gauge. S falls between O and HO. S-gauge is what American Flyer created after World War II. Before that, they were an O-gauge competitor. They were a standard-gauge competitor. But after World War II, they were known for their S-gauge. And it's kind of interesting because really in S-gauge, there weren't a lot of companies playing in that. But ironically enough, its golden age now is after the year 2000, because 7 more companies jumped into the game making product. When before, when you thought about S, you thought about American Flyer. Now, there's a lot of little scales in between. Honestly, I could go up to ride on in 7.5-inch gauge. We could talk about the narrow gauge ones. All of those are subsets of just pretty much every other scale. And then the one that everybody always mentions and says, Matt, you always skip it, is Z gauge. Yeah, if we got time and tweezers, you can put the trains on the track. We do sell it, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, Matt, let's talk about communication and vocabulary skills for kids, how that works.
Well, you got to think about it. This is the chance for a child to describe what they've done. And they learn how to talk to people. If they join a club in railroading or if they are a member and they're talking to their family, they learn the terms, they learn the ability to describe their railroad. That's really where you start. You know, you think about your grandson and he's got his wood train out and he wants to tell you every track and turn and description of what that train does, and he's going to tell you which Thomas engine is there, if that's Harold or if it's Thomas or if it's Percy or if it's James, you know. But he's spending that time to learn how to communicate with you and tell you stuff. And that's really where it starts. And then from there, you know, you can do public speaking if you join a club, because you got to spend all that time. I mean, how many of us have been to train shows, right? A train show can be 200 people for the entire weekend, or it can be like Train Fest and 20,000 people for the entire weekend. But all of those railroad guys got to be able to describe their railroads. And not all of them are old guys, okay? And not all of them are even guys. That's the other thing you got to keep in mind, because this has really become a unisex hobby. It started with the ladies who wanted to play with your train, and mom and dad said that was a boy's toy. And I've got railroads being built by women now in their 50s and 60s because they couldn't have them when they were 5 and 6, all the way up to young girls who are into engineering right now, and they're joining clubs to play with trains. You know, so I mean, it's experienced a renaissance in some ways.
So basically, what are future educational opportunities encouraged by model railroading? Can you go through the
We've touched on some of them, but I mean, construction skills is one. You know, you got to know how to build your table, build it strong enough to be able to do your railroading, design your tunnels, build all that stuff. The next one, of course, is electrical. God, I guarantee you every electrician out there probably had a railroad at some point and learned how to wire it up, and also learned how to wire it up on the cheap if they wanted to run it on a battery because they didn't want to pay for a $100 power supply. Then you have design work. I mean, simple design work, you know, whether it's landscape design or city planning. All of it, you're designing it so that you can fit in a space, but it looks good. And that's where the artistic comes in. A little one that people don't realize is that so many people are doing YouTube videos and stuff, that kids actually learn photography and video, videography, because they're putting their railroads and doing them and making it look like it's a real scene out on the internet today. Let's see here. Which other ones have I skipped?
Landscape design and...
Well, landscape design I mentioned, but yeah, okay. When you're talking about those, then there is... you know what? I skipped the obvious one, and people don't realize it, but basic computer work. So much of railroading today is DCC. So much of it is operating, electronics to run your trains and run multiple trains and have sounds and all this, but... You guys know what I'm talking about when I say blocking. And that was basic computer programming back in the day to learn how to trigger with magnets so a train would stop, another one would go through the cross, and then they would keep going. All of that is basic computer design. You're learning how to make something work in a mechanical era using electronics. And that started way back. I mean, you're talking 60s and 70s.
Well, that sure beats a video game on TV, right?
You better believe it. Although, you know, honestly, for the new kids, sometimes it's turned into a video game because you got a cell phone app now.
are there any boundaries or anything that, and limits have to be set by a child when they play with the trains or activities?
I personally don't think there are boundaries and limits in that situation. I know the discussion is, you know, you take care. You learn how to manipulate the train. I mean, obviously, some of these are small pieces. Some of these are, fragile pieces. Really, the big things is learning how to be respectful, you know, because it's an interactive hobby. Going through basically understanding, you know, that, you know, you're in the public, you're dealing with people when you're part of a club and things like that. And those things, they learn how, you know, to have good manners in some cases. But I don't think in the way of creative, the railroad is an extension of your imagination. So if you think you can create it, you can build it. You know, so there's really no limits on that end.
This has really been exciting. I think both Jim, our engineer, and myself, I think we're going to go out and get trains all over again, because it just piques your interest all over again. And I would say any kind of a conclusion to anything you'd like to add, Matt?
Look, in 2017, there was a newspaper article that came out in the Wall Street Journal, and it painted a very bad light on the hobby. It said it was a bunch of old men sitting around in their basements, and this hobby was dead. And a lot of people spent a lot of time referencing that online and talking about how the hobby was dying and everything else. If there's a silver lining to this pandemic that we have just gone through and all the craziness, and that is the fact that, as proven by the Wall Street Journal, as proven by the New York Times, the hobby is no longer even considered being dead. A company called Marklin hired 150 craftsmen in the middle of the pandemic to build new models, not the trains, the models, to put out new product. And when you look at that and you look at the shows that I've seen, and the people that have been out there, and the mix of people coming in the door now, I think hobby railroading, I think it has a very bright golden future going forward for quite some time. You know, if you can give them the ability to function in the world, you know, by railroading, mm-hmm. you'll get a very well-developed person going forward.
So. Well, there's a lot of merit in what you're saying, and I think that it's something that... kids have not been exposed to for a very long time, and it's like a refresher course all over again. Like, this is something you could do instead of sitting in front of a TV, you know, playing a video game. It's something that's brand new and that you can enjoy and have fun with. And I guess to all of our listeners, we'd like to say that we've really enjoyed having Matt Drennan with us here today. Matt's number is 815 216-9982. That's 815-276-9982. If you have any questions at all, Matt's available. And again, thank you folks for sharing your time with us. You've been listening to Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM. We hope that you had a great, enjoyable listening with us today, and we want to thank you all for being with us. Have a great day, everybody.